the table topic of the monks at the University of Healing here in Campo, California, was on a very interesting subject this morning. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Table topics of the monks. The monks were talking about meditation, and they were talking about listening, and they were talking about paying attention, and they were talking about how they can get the most out of their counseling, out of their listening, out of their meditation. And they said that to get the most out of it, you have to be quiet, you have to be not distracted, you have to be able to pay attention, you have to be able to watch what's going on, and most importantly, not to be distracted. In other words, if you're going to meditate, or if you're going to hear a lecture, or you're going to do something, it's not wise to be watching a movie on TV at the same time. And the question came up, can we have a discussion, for instance with Herb, on the things that we're interested in talking about right at the moment for a counseling discussion, and be in the jacuzzi at the same time? And of course, some people who are very weak and are not able to concentrate, they say that you cannot do that because the jacuzzi is distracting. Really, what is the purpose of a jacuzzi? Now, you turn off your strudels in the jacuzzi and you, while you're there, while you're talking, and then it doesn't have to be off all the time, but just while you're talking, or because that can be distracting. But
it's a different story.
If you are on a mountain top or on a cliff or something, and the cliff is beginning to drop away underneath you, you think to yourself, oh my goodness, here I am out here. Now, can you, in that state of emergency, not fall off the cliff? Now, no, you can't. If you have never taken care of your consciousness, if you have never mastered yourself, you will just fall off the cliff. Now, the reason you'll fall off the cliff is because distress disturbs you from being the master you are. If you are a master, as the Bible says, you can have 10,000 fall at your right and 1,000 at your left, and nothing will come nigh unto you. So, as you're standing on this cliff, and the cliff begins to disintegrate, you just say, I am surrounded by my pure white light of love, and all is in divine order. And you just gently walk right off of the decaying part of the cliff. Now, it may be 10 feet or 100 feet. It doesn't make any difference. But the thing is, it is a slow progression. It doesn't have to be fast. You do not have to save yourself. If you think of saving yourself, then you have fear. Mm-hmm. Then you have anxiety. Then you have tension. And when you have tension, fear, anxiety, you cannot master yourself. You cannot take care of anything. So, if you train yourself at all times to be a master, if you train yourself at all times to be totally in charge of your attitude, then no matter what circumstances come up in your life, you will not be disturbed. Now, we were in the restaurant in Anthony's the other day, and we were having a nice lunch, and the waiter over at another table accidentally dropped her tray. She was, so it wasn't Anthony's, so it was the restaurant at INTA in, in Phoenix. And I was sitting at my table with friends talking, and the waitress at the next table was serving the table, and as she did this, she bumped her tray, and all the rest of the stuff fell on the floor. Well, now, all of my friends turned to look and see what was going on, except one. One was in the middle of a conversation with me, and she didn't turn. She kept right on talking as though there was no distraction. There was no tension. There was no concern anywhere else except our conversation. Now, I was aware and aloof to all the things that were going on around me. I knew what was going on, but I was untouched by it. And I was aware of this woman talking to me because that was the primary thing on her mind. And it wasn't a great, noble conversation, but it was just something of interest to her. And she turned her attention straightly to me. Now, I would say she was a master. She was not distressed, distraught, disturbed by anything going on around her. She gave me her full attention as she had planned to do. Now, if she wanted to be a ding-a-ling, somebody who doesn't have their attention screwed on right and are distracted by every little thing, Ellen has an opportunity to be a ding-a-ling many times. We go in restaurants and we're having beautiful conversations, and then a beautiful child comes in with its parent, and they sit at a table in view of Ellen, and Ellen just cannot take her eyes off of the child because she just thinks that little tiny babies are the most wonderful little creatures on the face of the earth. And so no matter what conversations are going on around her, no matter what very important things are being discussed, her attention totally goes to that child and perhaps the mother. And she is at their table. I feel like saying to her, Ellen, why don't you go over and sit at their table? And they'd probably be very happy to have someone who admired their child so much. But truly, that is a distraction that is training you to be untouched. It's training you to put your attention to where you are. Ellen has two of her grandchildren visiting for a month. And so we're in this restaurant with her two grandchildren. We're sitting on the outdoor patio, and we're having a nice lunch, very wonderful lunch. And her grandchildren are giving Ellen all of the attention in the world, and I am too. And Ellen is distracted by not one but two babies, one across the way and one a little further back. And then there's even one behind the door that she knows about that I didn't even know about because it was just quietly sleeping there. And it's really amazing that you can let yourself be distracted from the primary things in life. And it's not a matter that it's important or not important. It's a matter that you build character within yourself. You build within yourself that ability, 10,000 this side, 1,000 that side. Nothing disturbs you. Now, you can be interested. Oh, that's lovely. Oh, neat kid. And then back to your conversation and stay with it, you know. But to keep looking over there, because it's such a beautiful scene, it's like people who have a beautiful mountain outside of their window and they see it once and then they never look again, you know. And, of course, that's what happens. That's what happens. People who live on a lake or a river, and the newcomer comes and looks and says, wow, wow, I'd sit here all day long looking at that beautiful scene, you know. And but you don't. You don't. You go about your life undistracted. You know that a beautiful scene is there. You know that the wonderful qualities are there, but you are undistracted by it. Now, do you want to train yourself to be master of your consciousness? Do you want to train yourself to be the cheese, the big wheel, the honcho, the macho? Mm-hmm. Okay, now, how do you train yourself to do that? You do that by not being distracted. Now, we have a little mini pin here who is doing its utmost to distract our attention. And it is just doing this and that, and it is, don't look. It is taking its paws and rolling up its nest and trying to get its blanket on top of it. And that's Ellen's dog. And Ellen, every time she thinks of her dog, she reaches down and puts a cover over it. Every time she thinks of her dog, she reaches down and makes sure he's okay. And you, little monkey shines, you hush up now, okay? Down, 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 down. Good boy. Beautiful. We have to take control of our emotions. We have to take control of our circumstances. We have to make sure that they're not disturbing ourselves or anybody else. Because if you're in a jacuzzi and you are relaxing, you can give your attention very strongly to whatever you want to put it to. That's a good time to meditate. It's a good time to speak positive thoughts about yourself. It's a good time to affirm who you are. Why do you think the jacuzzis and hot tubs sell so well? You're trying to get attention, huh? Why do you think they sell so well? They sell so well. You see, he just loves to get attention. They sell so well because they give you an opportunity to relax. What is it, espanin? They give you the opportunity to just be at peace with yourself. Not a worry in the world. Now, Ingeborg is a mature adult. And they say mature adults shouldn't go into the jacuzzi, or at least not alone. But they say mature adults shouldn't go into the jacuzzi, or not alone, because mature adults have a tendency to relax completely and just slip right under the water. And you have to stay alert. See, to be in meditation doesn't mean that you're asleep or dead. It means that you are alert and you are aware, I like me, 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 I like me. And as you do that, and you're in the jacuzzi or in the strudel bath or in what hot tub or whatever, even in our Swimex, which is nice and warm, or even in the pool. I would go to a health spa in Minneapolis, and I'd park my motorhome just outside of it. And then every morning when it opened, I'd go in, and I was the first one there, and I had the whole place to myself. And I would lay in their pool, just body temperature warm. And I would just lay back, and I would float, and I would meditate. And I had the most fantastic, effective meditations you could ever imagine. It was just delightful and wonderful. And I did overhear people coming in occasionally, is he dead? Because I was so silently floating there. But my nose was out of the water, my face was out of the water, and my toes were out of the water, my belly was out of the water. I didn't have much of a belly then, but it was quite nice. It was very beautiful. But yes, if we teach ourselves to meditate, to live in the attitude of awareness, nothing need disrupt us. Nothing need disturb us. Nothing need to take away. Now, I tell you the story of Moses. Moses went up on the mountain, and he was God. And so he chopped out the Ten Commandments, and they were good Ten Commandments. And he brought them down to the people, and he saw the people being naughty, violating the rules that they had established for themselves. And so he was very upset with them. So he took his Ten Commandments and threw them down on the ground. He went up on the mountain and wrote a bunch of naughty, naughty Ten Commandments for the naughty, naughty children. Not for the divine children, but for the naughty children. For the naughty children who were not being taught to be themselves and have fun. If you are yourself and have fun, you never violate anything. You never go against anybody else's rights or anybody else's world. You live in your own pure, beautiful world. But because you're a naughty child, you need to have rules and regulations. The people of every community are naughty children because they're going against the rules of their community, and the legislators make rules, the county makes rules, the city government makes rules, the police enforce the rules and things like that. Now, just think, if you had a bunch of people who could not speak each other's language, as the Tower of Babel had it, you know. They couldn't speak any other language. They just spoke whatever tongue they were speaking. And they could not be bad because they didn't know anything other than just be themselves and have fun. So they were being themselves and have fun, and the whole world was at peace for a long period of time. But then, as communication comes in and people learn to communicate, they learn to communicate, they learn to share, and then they learn to want what the other person has, and they want to manipulate the other person. They want to tell the other person how to live, tell the other person what sort of rules they should have. And as I tell you here at the Absolute Monastery, Please don't be so tough on yourself in writing up rules. Just say, be yourself and have fun. Be true to your inner self. And you can be false to no one. You can be false to no one. And what other rules do you need? What other rules do we need? Drive so that your car is a comfortable thing to drive. Drive with awareness of the road. Create the road as I surround this car with my pure white light of love. The way before me is open. You see, create that. As you create that, then you live in a world of peace and harmony. And it's not because of the science. They had a test, as I have mentioned about a year ago in a magazine. They wrote about this test. They took away all of the stop signs, caution signs, you know, zigzag signs, and speed signs from a community.
And lights.
Oh, stop lights. Oh, yeah, even stop lights, right. They took away all the indications for control. And I think the accident rate was cut down to 1% or something like that. Just some very nominal thing. It's just, naturally, there'll be some person who wants to be foolish and drive beyond the limit of what their car can handle on a road. But the thing is, most people were perfectly wonderful. You see, when you're guided by the wisdom within you, it's the greatest guide you could ever want and ever have. And you see, this is what it's all about. Now, can you meditate in the jacuzzi?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Can you have a discussion in the jacuzzi? Sure. Pam Wangler had a jacuzzi hot tub in her backyard in Chula Vista. And after my evening lectures there, we'd all go in her hot tub. Not all of us, because there were about 40 people there. But there were about 5 or 6 people there after everybody left. And we'd go into the hot tub. And we'd sit there, and we would have some of the most profound discussions you can ever imagine. Some of the most wonderful, inviting, exciting discussions on philosophy that you could just ever imagine. And you see, those are the beautiful things that can happen when you are relaxed, at peace, and you like yourself. So, go ahead. Take your jacuzzi. Mm-hmm. Take your strudel bath and enjoy yourself. And remember, you're always welcome back. I love you. I love you.
I love you.